Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Live on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio, around the world.
Welcome.
We're glad to have you with us this morning, wherever you may be streaming around the world. We're reaching a whole new group of people today. And, you know, you don't usually hear me on this channel at this time, but that's all right. Brother Miracle Man uses this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Brother Miracle Man is a powerful man, had 27 miracles happen in his life so far, believing God for many more. And I encourage you, man, support him, help him get it out there, help him spread this gospel he's preaching all over the world. Here's the cool thing about Miracle Man. He's blind in his eyes. If he didn't have a cochlear implant, he couldn't hear you. He has an associate degree in broadcasting from a college that he had to get on a bus and ride for 30 miles to go to the college and never missed a day of school. Now, if you didn't know that about your host on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, then you get involved and help him do what he does, because
Amen.
He's a mighty man of God.
Amen.
He's a mighty, mighty, mighty man of God. And I bless you. He doesn't know I'm doing this. So I bless you. And I'm proud of you, Miracle Man, and honored to have you on this channel with us. And it is an honor to sow this seed to you every day, because we believe in you, buddy. God's bringing all your dreams to pass.
Amen.
And he's the God of miracles. He's working in your life right now in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. We're going live now to Facebook. We'll grab all of our friends over there. Then we'll go live on YouTube. We'll grab all our friends over there. And we're going to have us a worldwide party.
Amen.
How cool is that? Brother Arkansas is with us. Brother Michigan is on the Zoom with us already. So this thing, Brother Michigan is with us in Ohio. Brother Arkansas is with us in North Dakota.
That makes it funny.
This is the most interesting gathering of believers you've ever seen in your life. It's amazing. And Sister Louisiana is probably with us now on a ship.
Oh,
headed
yeah.
to Mexico.
A great
That's pretty
time,
cool.
Phyllis.
Have a good time, Phyllis. We call you blessed. May all your seas be flat, smooth, awesome, beautiful, and filled with warm degrees, warm temperatures, and the most amazing food you've ever eaten.
Amen.
Here they come.
Felicia is here.
Sister Felicia. Ready? Let's sing it. Oh, when the saints come marching in. When the saints come marching in. Oh, yeah, I know. I'll be in that number when the saints come marching in. Brother Dave, hit the trombone.
I have a saint in that since I was 8.
Come on, man. We sing it all the time.
Yeah, we sing it all the time.
The saints come marching in all over the world here, and it's a pretty awesome thing to see. As everybody shows up, and now this guy's going to start singing.
Everybody shows up.
That's just, can you just be quiet while I'm trying to get something done here for just a minute? It's not difficult. It just depends whether you have a heart to interrupt or a heart to listen. All right, let's see here. There we go, Ken Brumbaugh. There we go. All y'all, all my all good folks.
Oh, yeah, there's a gap.
So we're blessing you guys this morning. And I'm sure you can hear in the background, we got a live visitor with us today. I like them. I don't like them when they're dead, because they're tough to preach to.
You've probably all seen him before, though.
Yeah, brother. The first day.
Brother Photobomb.
This is the first day he showed up. He got him a really good name, nickname, Brother Dave the Photobomb.
So funny.
It's amazing how it sticks, doesn't
it?
Yeah. when we were bikers in Michigan, and of course we're riding every day, and it's it's a pretty grueling thing we did. We had one brother that just couldn't seem to get up to the stop sign and get both feet down at the same time. He's always dropping his bike. So he got the name real quick, Brother Jackstop. That's what you call a jackstop right there. And then one day we had a little propane heater with us in the back of a race car trailer so we could get warm. It was cold. And he got too close with his Carhartts, and so then he was Brother Jackstop with the hot pants.
That's
too funny. So you're welcome to say whatever you want here, but you will get a title out of it. We guarantee it. I love you too. Love you, Felicia. Love you. Somebody needs to mute this.
Is that you,
Layaway? Layaway, you there?
I muted him. Did you want me to leave him up?
It's all right. Morning, Layaway. Good to have you, buddy. That is Opelika, Alabama, checking in. Go Bengals. See if I can get a fight started here on church.
Did you think he started YouTube?
No, I'm going to wait for the message to start that.
All right.
So I got Brother Dan, Brother Sister Leanne, and Sister Felicia and the Ikers this morning. Welcome, guys. Good to have you with us. It is Sunday morning. This is an hour of faith. We do it on purpose. Many people are looking for a place to worship. And what's really sad is that in some cities and villages, there is not a place to worship. And we want to provide that right here. Sally Pounty's with us. Welcome, Sally. Laura Gulick, she's with us. Welcome, Laura. Good to have you back with us today. We've been missing you. And it's always good to have you with us. You know, what's really cool about this is probably the only church service where the pastor welcomes you, if you're live, to be on Facebook and make comments during church.
Yeah. Talk away.
But this church is streamed live, and so while we're having what we call church, the gathering in of the believers, and you start typing stuff in, then not only do the rest of us in church get to see your amens and comments, but the whole world gets to see it.
Good morning, Rebecca.
And that's a pretty powerful event.
It is.
Now, everybody pause. I got to send a text here. I mean, you guys just keep doing what you're doing. But
yeah, and you can also comment live on YouTube as soon as we start that broadcast. And those of you on Zoom, you know you can make comments. Good morning, Francetta. I love you. Glad you're here.
Good morning, Francetta.
Trusting God will take my blood pressure pill. Oh, not taking your blood pressure pill. Well, we declare you are healed in the name of Jesus. Body, receive your healing now.
Hey to the men.
You know, we heard someone teach a really powerful message one time on even when you are on medication, you should pray over those meds as you get ready to take them and declare that any need that your body has for them is healed immediately and you'll have no more need of them. So even do that, Francetta, wherever you're.
And then that one lady, I think it's one of the most amazing testimonies I've ever heard. She had stage 4 cancer. Now that's pretty much a death sentence.
Oh, yeah.
And the doctor said, we want to do chemo and everything. She said, you ain't doing nothing else to me. I ain't trusting you. You guys don't have nothing. I got Jesus. So she called her friend, it was a pastor's wife, and said, I have been instructed by the Holy Spirit to call you and ask you what I should do to solve this. And she said, well, this is what you do. You just asked, so I'm going to tell you what I heard the Holy Spirit say. And she said, you're to take communion like you were taking a med. And she said, okay, what's that mean? She goes, well, if you had some meds, they'd be 4 times a day, every 6 hours. every 6 hours, receive communion. And when you do, she gave her a bunch of verses to say. And she said, just like you're taking medicine, take his broken body and his blood shed. Do it 4 times a day, very faithfully, just like you would if you were taking penicillin. Well, this is amazing. 21 days later, 21 days later, she was completely cancer-free by using the broken body and the blood of Jesus. 21 days later. Now, wait. She didn't just sit down and read recitations down. And Jesus said, this is my body that was broken for you. And I'm no, she took that word as if the word was part of her eating a meal. And it was part of her medicine. And this medicine, it took you 15 minutes to actually take it. 21 days later, by faith, she was completely cancer-free. No, guys, that is one of the most testimonies, one of the most powerful testimonies of the Word of God working in your life that you're ever going to hear anywhere on the face of the earth, because His Word is so infused with life. As soon as you get the revelation that this Word is bigger than anything and the enemy can send you as a fiery dart. He put His Word above His name. That is huge. When God gave Jesus the name above every name, and He put His Word above that. Anyways, that's what this morning, we're going to teach you this morning, is where'd the title go? The Word of God is the center of your faith. The Word of God is the very center of your faith. Amen, amen, glory, amen, hallelujah, amen. And thank you, Jesus. Now, usually on the evening program, we ask you what you had for supper. What'd you have for breakfast? What'd you have for breakfast, Dave?
Bacon, biscuits, and gravy.
Bacon, whoa, biscuits, and gravy.
Whoa! I didn't even have to cook it this time.
Yeah, he didn't cook it this time either. Amen, amen, amen. That's even better. I agree with that. And we had some more of Sister Leanne's cabbage soup. This is the most interesting, very interesting soup you've ever had. Because on Friday night at midnight, it was cabbage soup, all right? And then it was...
You know, Friday, we were still on orange juice.
It was, yeah, we're talking about the cabbage soup. It was cabbage soup. Yeah. And then it was cabbage soup and throw some more peas in it and throw some of this in it. And this one pan of cabbage soup has now changed its face about 5 times, and it's never been eaten up completely. And this morning, it's like this amazing cabbage stew kind of, yeah. And so much heat in it, the back of my head was sweating.
That was the cayenne.
It's amazing. The end of the fast. Glory be to God.
Yeah, tomorrow we get to eat normal food.
Tomorrow we get to eat normal food.
Rebecca had Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Ripley loves Cheerios. That's
Ripley loves Cheerios, milk, and applesauce.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at him. He raised his head.
Cabbage
right up.
Cabbage stew with ham, Rebecca.
Amen. Amen. Well, morning to everybody. Sister Felicia said they had oatmeal and toast. God bless America for that. It's
I love oatmeal.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. As we live our life. You might say, Pastor, what's the spirituality of that?
You
nothing.
Had
nothing. Tonight. We're just being friends and family and everybody waking up and finding your place in the pew, you know, and getting all the little chickens beside you there and everybody. And you know how it is when you went to church and you had some dirt on your face. Mama took the big thumb lick and gave it and took your head off you. Yeah. And no wonder I have such a wonderful complexion because I've had my mom spit on my face.
You were anointed daily, huh?
And I'd be like, no, no, I told you to get a washcloth and wash it, so guess what? You ain't going to church looking like I don't care. And Mom, if you're with us this morning, I love you. Thank you. All the spit bags you gave me, I love it. One of them, I think that's...
Thank you for anointing the man of God.
In order to be an honorable son and honor my mother and my father, I have to say thank you for the spit baths. Amen. Anyways, are you ready for the word of God? I am ready for the holy word of God. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10.
YouTube.
Oops. Let's get the YouTube bunch in there. Romans chapter 10. And it's an interesting crowd this morning. We got Brother Dave from Arkansas and North Dakota. Sister Lynn and I from Michigan and North Dakota. We got Brother Dan from Michigan and Ohio. We got quite a crowd. And even Sister Felicia from Louisiana, somewhere in Mexico. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
So no matter where you are or where you're supposed to be are, welcome. We're glad to have you this morning. And here we go.
Good morning, YouTube.
Good morning, YouTube. Glad to have you with us today. Everybody hold your Bible up. You know, brother, there's a Bible right there on the second shelf from the bottom. You're welcome to use if you want. Yeah, grab that one. Yeah, it's loaded. I did that on purpose so you could send it all over the room instead of me. Hold your Bible up. Let's make this confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible-ish.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The
Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God
is making His Word come alive.
Is making His Word come alive.
In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive this Word of God.
I receive this Word.
And plant Him as a seed.
And plant Him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. This is our word today. The word of God is the center of your faith. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to start reading with verse number 6 and go down through 17. And, yeah, thank God that wet ones, remember that? Wet ones came out about that time when I was growing up and your mom could have it. And I didn't have to have the spit bath, but guess what that meant? That meant you really got scrubbed. I got scrubbed behind the ears. Man, why was mom always concerned about the dirt behind your ears? Like, I can't see it. Why would you look at it? Here we go. Romans chapter 6. But the righteousness of Dexter. Wow. Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. This way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who will descend into hell to bring Christ up from the dead. Remember, Jesus went to hell because he bore all the sins of the earth. He dropped them in hell where they belong. All sin comes from hell. And then he went and completely crushed the enemy and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him. And then he came back. So Jesus wasn't just laying around dead when he was in hell. He was kicking butt and establishing his name. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you. Where is it? In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, maybe, might be, could be, someday, hopefully, it says you will be saved.
Amen.
Verse 10, I love this. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For what does the scripture say? Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on his name. Say it with me. God be rich to me.
God be rich to me.
Today.
Today.
I'm calling on your name.
I'm calling on
now wait.
Your name.
Rich doesn't mean millionaire. In our day, the word billionaire is talked about very frequently. That doesn't mean rich. Rich means blessed in every area of your life. I like how Brother Jesse said it. Spirit, soul, and body. Mind, will, and emotion. Marriage, money, mouth, ministry. Whatever you do. God wants to be rich to you so that your whole life is an example of the abundance of God. Keep it going. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Them, these verses are destroying your election doctrine that only says a few can be saved, and it's up to God to choose who they are. That does not work. It's not biblical. Leave it alone. Get away from those who teach it. 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? God's laying the whole thing out here in a couple of verses. Greet the next pastor. Just look him in the face and say, you have such beautiful feet.
Has anyone said that to you?
Nobody has ever said that.
I heard your mom say it one time.
Now, you know, I'm not offended. I mean, but look at the Bible. It says it right there. It says, I don't care what, how long my toes are. It doesn't matter. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. All right, you don't have to say that. That was, you know, that was a big biblical humorism. Verse 16. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, who has believed our report? 18. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God established his word in heaven. God puts it into the heart of a man or woman of God who's going to lead the church. That man or woman of God brings the word out. You receive the word, you digest it, put it in here, it begins to grow a tree and a beautiful harvest in your life. That's how it works. So I read it in verse form as they have it laid out. If you start in verse 17 and go backwards, that's how God has it established. The word of God is the most important factor of your faith. Well, Pastor, I thought being born again was the most important factor. Well, born again is the most important first step. Born again is not a goal. It's step one.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're born again, you got to now go for step two, because that's just step one. That's not the culmination. That just got you in the door of the kingdom. You're just still standing there going, wow, check this place. You ever been in a big building you've never been in before? And you walk in the door and you're like, whoa. But on the way here from Michigan at the beginning of December after Thanksgiving last year, we got back to Minneapolis, St. Paul. And there's a really big church there, and I'm sure they got a really nice bookstore. And I was trying to buy a book, a Christian book you wouldn't get anywhere else, and I just assumed buy it from a Christian in a bookstore as Amazon or the world. Why would you give our money to the world and then wonder why the church is broke?
Right. Right.
If the church has it, buy it from them. So anyways, we stopped at the church. It was the first time I was ever there. And you walk in the door of the foyer, and you're like, wow. This dude took a factory building in an industrial complex and has made the most beautiful church you ever seen. You walked in the door, of course, it was Christmas, and this whole huge long foyer that's about 50 feet wide is all decorated Christmas with the most beautiful Christmas things you ever see. Lights, places for the family they could sit down and have somebody take a picture of them, make a beautiful Christmas picture. And it was like, this whole thing was, you're just like, wow. Well, that's what being born again is like. That's just your... Morning, Harmony. Good to have you with us today. Harmony Ford sounds like a mechanic. She's making a harmonize. Might have been a bad joke.
Maybe a Harley mechanic. Are you Harmony?
Yeah, but her last name's Ford, so.
Oh.
Do you get it? She's a Ford mechanic.
Yeah,
Harmony
mechanic.
Never mind. Don't worry about it. Look at verse 6. The righteousness of faith. There's a righteousness of faith. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know what that means. It means this. It means by faith, you receive Jesus' righteousness. By faith. Pastor, how in the world do you do that? Same way you got born again. You believed in your heart. You spoke with your mouth. What did you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth? The word of God that somebody standing in front of you was telling you to say. Think about our prayer. We pray for salvation. According to John 3:16, right? I'm asking them to speak the word. According to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. What did this person who until this point has been an unbeliever just do? They spoke the word of God.
Amen.
Then our next statement is, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God and you raised from the dead. What is that? That's right there in verse 9. You spoke verse 9. Then what's the next thing we say? Jesus, I receive you into my life. And I tell you to put your hands out and just like you're bringing a gift to you. Where does that verse from? Go with me. John chapter 1. I'm going to show you this. The word of God is the most foundation. It is the center of all you do. John chapter 1, verse number 11 and 12 and 14. All the way to 11 to 14.
Did you see Hermes?
Ford stands for Ford stands for, I'm not going to make that word I used to say. That's not of faith, so I won't do that.
I like her. First on race day. First on race day. I think that's good.
Forever, ornery, rebuking Dodges. Ford. Don't worry about it. I'm in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. How are you going to believe on his name unless you hear somebody in front of you preaching what? The word. Now watch. I want you to see this. There's whole denominations that believe right now that when you walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, that's what gets you saved. Well, how do I know you walking down that aisle, strutting your stuff like you're getting ready to do something, you've said one word in your heart to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Shaking my hand don't make nobody saved. Well, there's a whole lot of people that got saved because when I'm shaking hands, you know, they got saved. But that doesn't work. You have to believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. But what did Jesus say? As many as received him. That's where it's at in our prayer. that we pray every day, the prayer of salvation. All right? To them he gave the power to become the children of God. To those who believe on his name, you can't believe until somebody speaks the word. This word is the most center focal part of your life.
Amen.
Now watch. Look at verse 14. Here's what happens when you speak the word and you get it down in you. And the word became flesh and dwelled among you. And we beheld his glory, the only glory of the begotten. Huh. The glory was on. Well, you read the verse, for goodness sakes. I can't seem to get it out, right? The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, that verse is speaking about Jesus coming from heaven, coming to this earth, and the Word in heaven. Jesus was known as the Word. So, when he came to earth, it was the Word becoming flesh, so you can see it, and dwelling among us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, he laid aside his eternal deity and took on the form of a man like you and me. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit as a man, just like you and me. He could not be the faithful high priest if he didn't suffer the same temptations we did and do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, so he could be an example for us. He would not be a faithful high priest. But he did it. Right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father is a man, is a born again from the dead man, Jesus, who by using the word and the power of the Holy Spirit has been given the name high above every name. We read it last night when we were studying. And I'm not going to turn there, but it's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says, we don't know what he'd be like, but we know this. When he appears, we will see him, and we will be like him. We're going to look like Jesus. Don't I look like Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Have you ever been... Have you ever heard couples fight? Who you think you are, Jesus? Well, yeah. I'm not Jesus, but I sure am trying to be like you. See, the word of God's got to be in every part of us. But now watch this, verse 14, John 1, 14. The word became flesh. Now I'm gonna interpolate this a little bit. Not changing the Bible. It's the law of double reference.
John 1:14.
The word, when you speak it and it gets in your heart, becomes flesh and it dwells among your cells, tissue, DNA. I don't know if you ever saw the test.
You don't have to go there,
Dave. I don't know if you ever saw the test done on a microscope. But at the center of every chromosome,
yes,
there's a cross.
There is a cross.
See, God, when you speak his word and you force that word in your heart bigger than all the words that anybody else has ever said, when you force that word down in your heart, it will force out all the other words out of your heart. You don't want that. How do I do that, Pastor? Speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it. Open this page up. Read it. Take these verses we're putting in. Get the verse list. Write them out on a piece of paper. It helps when you write it. As you write it, say it right out loud. Really? Yeah. Say it right out loud. Then pick that piece of paper up and read it right out loud. You can ask Brother Dave. We got little pieces of paper on the mirrors and on the wall, everywhere. Why? Because I'm gonna get that word inside of my life. And the only way to get that word in me so it can come out and be the flesh of God producing life dwelling among me is I get it down in there so deep that it's what automatically comes out when the devil punches. Watch. I say this almost every time I sit here, but it's because it's that important. I'm going to read you this verse, so everybody pay attention and listen to me. Don't be doing something else right now. This verse on the bottom. Wait, hold on. They can't see. All right? This verse on the bottom right here. This is a verse of scripture. Sister Leanne may have thought I was making weird green things and putting on our microwave when I first did it, but it doesn't matter. I want the word in front of me. She's got over it. She only laid on the ground and twitched for a while. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth. Now watch. I literally wrote this in here. In our lives. I want God's word in my life right now. But it's not going to get in there if you don't put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down, and fill this heart, which the world has tried to fill with its ways. You got to do it. Write it, read it, speak it. Amen, Felicia.
Rebecca said, how did you know I was doing something else just now? Because that's what you do, Rebecca.
Some of you don't pay attention, and I'm beginning to see what it is you're doing, and I am totally shocked at you. All right, that was a pastoral humoristic process. Like Brother David that night, he said he was going to the airport. I'm like, whoa, that was a big bump. It's right out there in 85. Watch this. I love my top verse here. I love this verse. I got it right at eye level. Okay? It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You might be like, who are we taking by force, Pastor? But this is what it says. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom, a share, your portion of the kingdom of heaven is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. What is it? That's you and me bringing that kingdom, thy kingdom come, to this earth in my life. Now, Brother Dave's probably the only one that anybody would ever have heard here me getting serious about my verses, because he lives right across the hall. So he may have walked up to the door many times and heard me, and the violent take it by force. And he's like, whoa, get in the house. I don't know what's going on in there. But watch what it says. Then the next line says, we, Samuel and Leanne, ardently seek with great zeal the wealth transfer of all the heaps that belongs to us. Is that a verse, Pastor? Oh, yeah. It's like this big old huge doctrine of the Word of God. Why don't people believe it? Because no pastor ever picked it up and began to teach you it out of the Bible and show you the verses to begin to stand on to get in your heart so that it can happen.
Amen.
Keep come now. 100-fold return come now. See, what are we doing? We're taking this word, we're putting it down deep in our heart. And when we do that, now that word begins to become flesh. And that word is now dwelling among us. It's dwelling in my heart. It's dwelling in my cells. It's dwelling in my tissues. And now I'm telling you what, all of a sudden this word begins to change everything about you. And what happens? All the junk in your heart goes away. And now your heart is filled with love and peace and joy and happiness. When you think about everything that's in your heart, and sometimes you wonder, man, that person just made me mad, and this came out of my heart, and I don't even want that coming out of my heart. And you might say to Jesus, Jesus, why did I just do that? Because somebody put that in your heart enough times, and you saw them do it, that you accepted it, and you began to do it in your heart. When I was a kid, we had a corner store that was a mile and a half away, actually 2 miles away. And if my brother Joe and I would climb to the top of the trees in our yard, we could actually see Ed's store. And his name was Ed. Everybody called him Ed. It wasn't his real name, but that's what y'all called him. And the place is called Ivan's Place. It's at the intersection of M33 and M55. Cool little store. Nothing fancy about it at all. Actually, if you went in and really looked for fancy, you'd be like, this kind of...
It's a little scary.
It's a little scary, yeah. And the floors creak, you know. But they were cool people. Ed and Lucy. Lucy was his old lady wife. She was old when we first met her. You'd bring a can of soup up and she'd put it on the, you'd put it on the counter and she'd take her little rag and she'd wipe all the dust off it because everything had dust on it, you know. And Ed was a typical man of the world. When you first walked in the door, there was a big magazine rack that was filled with pornography. You know, it was a basic story, you know. Had all the beer you wanted. But they were good people, and they really liked my mom and my dad when they found out they were preachers. And my dad lived what he preached. And they were such wonderful people. One day they found out we were having financial problems. And dad walked in the store to buy something. Gets me. And this man of the world looked at my dad and said, preacher, if I ever hear you don't have enough food for your family again, I'm sure he said there's going to be hell to pay. Now you come to this store and you get your family food. And you sign a ticket. And you pay me back. This is not going to happen. You're a good man. He was a cool man. And over and over, Dad would come home and say, I just went to pay Lucy, and she ripped the paper. Because my dad lived this word in front of their eyes to see. I'm trying to tell you a story, and I'm not even there yet. One day, Dad went with a tire, needed the air in there. And the bead wouldn't come up on the beam, you know. And Ed looked at him and said, preacher, I need you to just, if you would, take you and the kids and just step outside the store for a minute. And Dad's like, what's that all about, Ed? He goes, that tire's not going to get on that rim until I say words I shouldn't say in front of you. Wait. Why did Ed believe that? Somebody creased his life that in order to get that tire to go on, you have to say these words to it.
So he was using the power of his words.
He was using the power of his words. What did he need to get put in those words? He needed the word of God in there. You don't need to cuss at the thing. Speak life to it. Right? Now, how many of us have been there? Over and over in my life, that same statement has come up inside me. Now, my dad would never talk like that. Yeah, I've never heard my dad swear one time ever. But hearing Ed say that, that would come up to me, and I'm like, I ain't cussing, I ain't saying those words. My mama smacked me upside my head all the way from Tennessee. I ain't doing that. I was around a bunch of wicked cussing bikers, but I'm not going to talk like them. I'm going to be that example. So whatever words, groups of words have been put in your heart. Those are the words that's coming out of you. You ever seen that meme that says, I opened up my mouth and sounded just like my mother?
Yes.
Sounded just like my dad. And some, I sounded just like my Uncle Charlie. I sounded just like Grandpa. Wait, I want everybody to know, every one of us, including me, is guilty of that. I'm guilty of listening to the religious people I listened to all my life and then talking like them and letting those words come out. And those words kill you. I've heard religious people say, well, my daddy died at this age, and his daddy died at this age, and I'm probably going to just die at this age. And went to church and paid tithe and did the whole thing, acting like there's something, they died at that age. Why? Because of the words that were coming out of their mouth that were useless words. Words are a container of an image. And your mind, your three-part human being cannot change except what your words are saying. They're going to follow. Everything I touch falls apart.
Quit saying that.
Guess what? You all need to fix, to get ready, to commence, to begin, to have everything fall apart. What do you got to do? You got to get this word. Look at verse 14, John 1, 14. And the word becomes flesh. This word will get in this flesh and give you life just like it gave Jesus and everybody else who's ever received it around the world. Now, I can hear somebody saying, Pastor, what's the doctrine? What's the doctrine you're talking about the heaps? What's the doctrine about this heaps thing? Can you show me that picture? What, you trying to get me off subject here or something? I'll be out of trouble with God later if I'm not on the word. I would love to show it to you. Want to see it?
Yep. Show us.
Ecclesiastes. Brother Dave's getting blessed. He's about ready to fall out of the chair over here. Hallelujah.
In Joel.
Well, you know.
Yeah, he may have been visiting there at some point in time.
This is one of my major revelations in the last year. No matter how much I look for John in Luke, it just isn't there. I mean, I don't know why. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes is right after the book of Psalms. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 24 and 26. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 26. Now, I want you to see this. This is a major doctrine of the Word of God, and people don't do anything with it. 24, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This I saw was from the hand of the Lord. I'm going to read it again. I want this word to get down inside your flesh and become part of your flesh. There's nothing better for a man than that he should eat. I like eating. How many do a good job of that?
Amen.
Amen. Drink. I like that. I like it. I like coffee. I haven't had it for about 3 months now.
Yeah.
I may never have it again after that last bit. Yes, you bind it, you foul devil. Get out of my life. But look at what it says. That he should enjoy the fruit or the good in his labor.
Amen.
You should do something you enjoy. You're supposed to enjoy what you do. Yeah, I get to go do my job. And you love it. Brother Dave loves his job. I used to do pretty much the same job Dave did back in Michigan. I loved it. I honestly loved it. I totally, completely, absolutely loved it and enjoyed it. I got truck driving brothers all the time. Come on, man. Come back and drive with me. I got to go drive back there. That ain't my life anymore. My life is this. I absolutely enjoy this. This is my work and the fruit of my labor. But did I enjoy driving truck? Yeah. I think the best truck driving I ever had was when all of us were running off a well, trying to keep that thing full of water. There was about 8 or 10 of us flying by each other, going 70 miles an hour in a semi weighing 150,000 pounds down a dirt road. They're like, woo! Just kicking gravel, making dust. Woo! Loved it. You're supposed to enjoy your labor. There's nothing wrong with that. When if your man loves his job, you need to give glory to God. He's being very biblical. Hey, but Pastor, I want him home with me. We'll go broke then.
Oh, no. No, not that.
No. Man don't have to burn the candle at both ends and in the middle all at the same time, and he should oughtn't come home every now and then.
Amen.
Anyways. 26. For God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. How many want to just stop the verse and say, I receive that?
I receive that.
Word. Well, see, wisdom is only going to come from this word. It's why the very center of all of your faith is the word of God getting in your life and getting into your flesh. But if you don't ever put it in by digestion, meditation, speaking it, declaring it, it's not going to get in your heart. You can carry this book around on your head all day long, everywhere you go. They'd be like, what's wrong with that guy? It looks like he's carrying his Bible. Oh, no, I'm getting the word inside my head. No, don't get in that way. The only way you're going to get it in there is you get it. You write it. You type it. You speak it. And you speak it. And you speak it. And you speak it. Write it. Read it. Speak it. And it gets down in here. And then when it gets in here, kaboom, you got an explosion. Excuse me. And now that word fills every part of your life. I just had the picture when I cough like that of Dave going, you know, remember back in the beginning of COVID, anytime somebody sneezed, everybody's like,
oh, yeah, freaking out.
I would go into stores because I didn't wear a mask. I'd go into stores and think, you know, a really good sneeze right now would clear this aisle.
Oh, I am.
But there's enough stupid liberals around, they'd be like, put him in jail. He just used a deadly weapon, you know. Here we go, 26. For God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to a man who is good in his sight.
Thank you, Lord.
This is a good verse, isn't this? A great verse. But look at the next statement. But to the sinner, he gives the work, and the King James says toil, labor, hard labor with sorrow is toil. To the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give it to those who are good before God.
Hallelujah.
That's a head scratcher, Pastor. It is. Read it out loud and say, that's for me.
That's for me.
You know how many places in our life God had a sinner with a heap waiting to give it to you, but you didn't know it was there for you to have? Wait. That sinner used God's strength to gather it up to give it to you. But you didn't know it was your promise to have. And you had this whole dry spell of your life going, my God, where's my money? What happened to everything? And where was it? He had it in a sinner's hand. He probably wanted you to get him born again. Get her born again. And they had this big old heap, but you didn't even realize it. I know the story of a man on the West Coast. Started working for a cement company. Got in the door, cleaning the shop, running a broom. Next thing you know, they're like, hey, dude, come here and help me. You know, working on a big cement truck engine. And, hey, dude, come here and help me. And he pulled this wrench and he held the wrench. Next thing you know, he became a mechanic. He knew how to fix everything in there. They're like, hey, Charlie, we need you to go drive a truck. So he went and drove the truck. The old man owned the company. Ready? Sixth largest cement company on the West Coast. Sixth largest. And the old man's ready to retire. And he calls this servant into his office and says, my sons have squandered everything that I have given them. They'll destroy my work in 1 year. but you'll make it go. You are my heir. It's all yours.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Actual, real story in our day on the West Coast. Sixth largest cement company at that time on the West Coast. And the man who was the faithful steward growing up in the company became the heir. He said, of course, you're not my child, so I can't just give it to you. I'll charge you 1 year of what it would I would make in this company, and we'll take it out as you work. And the whole thing's yours. Because he was a faithful man of God.
Hallelujah.
Now, guys, I just told you one story of probably a million stories around this world where God set you and I in a place where God had amazing, huge, awesome blessing waiting for us. And we walked around in poverty, debt, lack, fear, confusion. I just wondered the fall. I'm just glad I'm broke, busted, and disgusted for Jesus. And it's not what he wanted. He had somebody sitting there waiting for you with a heap. I can tell. I got a few people from Missouri with me today saying, show me, show me, show me. You just gave me one verse, man. It says, not like you gave me all the verses that's on there.
Good morning, Mary. So glad.
I like people from Missouri. You know why? Because people from Missouri help you dig deep and really, 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 really get a good establishment. I'm going to just prove to you how important the Word of God is. Proverbs chapter 8. Go left. About that many pages. Proverbs is the book right before Ecclesiastics. And it does not end with a T-I-C-S. It ends with an I-S. Here we go. Proverbs 8, 21. Yeah. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wait, 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 wait. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, I'm not saying nothing. I finally listened to a teacher who taught me something. You read the Bible. This is what the Holy Spirit inspired Solomon to say. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. That I may fill their treasures. That means this. It wasn't yours, but you love him. And according to this verse and Ecclesiastes verse, he's going to cause you to have the treasury.
I receive them.
Well, I'm glad somebody finally said I receive it. Poor Dave, first time he's ever been there, like, wow, these people are a little crazy. We are crazy around here for Jesus, man. Now watch this. Proverbs 13:22. These verses aren't the center of your life. 66 books are the center of your faith. See, there's a whole bunch of believers. It's like, if you just do something, I'm just broke, crossing and disgusting. You just must want me poor all my life. You missed this opportunity, that one, where you're supposed to be inheriting wealth, and you wasn't there because somebody taught you to be broke, busted, and disgusted, rather than blessed, 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 like it is in Deuteronomy 28. Look at this one. Proverbs 13, dose, double dose.
Mary says, I receive it.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. How are y'all going to do that if you don't have anything? What, you're going to leave him a trailer house?
Did you say 22?
Yep, 22. Proverbs 13:22. I ain't nothing wrong with a trailer house, but that's not much of an inheritance to your children's children. It won't even last that long. I'm not down on nothing. I'm reading this book saying, how come this isn't happening? But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You ever get a job and you're walking with God doing the best you can, and before you even get your first paycheck, you get a raise? I like that. I like it. It's happened to me.
And Dave too.
I think it's like here. It's like, yeah, right there. It's like the guy, like, well, I'm going to hire this much, pay this much per load, and you get this much, you know, and you're trying to have him, she meet, give me, and then they get, you're like, thank you. We can tell you're a good worker, and we're not just going to start yet. I was 27% of the truck, and that started me at 29. And then they're like, we want you to help us train some people, and jump me to 31. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Why? Because they're going to look at the righteous and say, this dude knows what he's doing. Look at him. And here comes the wealth. Pastor, you act like we ought to be believing this. If you're not believing it every day, you're going to come up short at a point, because your faith wasn't there. Your words wasn't there. This word wasn't in your heart. My Missouri guy's still going, I don't know. Well, all right, I'll give you another one then. You know, some people are a little skeptical. But it's all right. It's all right. If you're a little skeptical, I got a lot of skeptical removing verses. Proverbs is all right, but don't go there. Go to Isaiah. So we're going back right about 3 or 4 books after Ecclesiastes. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to go down to verses. It's verses 1 through, oh my goodness, it's 1 to 12. It's 12 verses of it here. 60, yeah. 60. Isaiah 60, yep.
I believe it from Michigan.
Amen.
Amen, Francetta. I receive it.
So I'm just going to read it. I was going to stop and preach it, but let's just read it. There's 12 verses of it. Now, this whole chapter is, isn't it? Watch. Let's let the word do the talking. Arise, shine, your light is coming. This word is the center, not the sinner's giving you something. The word is the center. Arise, shine, your light is coming. Verse 2. Darkness will cover the earth. We're there. How many agree? Darkness is all over this earth. And deep darkness is on the people of the earth. It's everywhere. But the Lord is arising over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Old Testament, the glory was seen on. New Testament, the glory is seen out of. People walk up and say, you're glowing, man. What is it? Well, it's God. Let me show you what it's all about. Verse 3. The Gentiles, that means sinners, those not in the covenant, will come to your light. And the kings will come to the brightness of your rising. They're going to be drawn to you. Why? They have heaps that God has designed for you to bring from them and put in this kingdom and help us preach this gospel all around that world right now today.
Hallelujah.
Make you shout, woo! 4. Lift up your eyes. Look all around and see. They all gather. They all come to you. Your sons are going to come from your fire. Your daughters from the fire. Verse 5. Then you will see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. What does that mean? The ships are coming to you. This whole chapter is wealth transfer from God to you. I thought we were the Gentiles. Yes, the operative word is were. Once you find Jesus, you're no longer a Gentile. You have now have the heir and the inheritance as spiritual Israel. You're now part of the covenant. You don't consider yourself a Gentile anymore. Gentile born, I'm now one of the family. I've been grafted into the vine, man. You and I are a wild shoot grafted into a perfect vine. Yes, Gentile means those without a covenant.
We were
Gentiles without a covenant. We are now grafted into the covenant and have as much access to every part of God that the children of Israel do. We haven't replaced them because they can come be a part of the covenant too. And the 12 tribes out of 12 tribes, you're not going to have a tribe you go belong to. You just are now part of spiritual Israel. Paul said it. You're grafted into the vine. Whole book of Romans chapter somewhere back there. Let's keep reading. 6. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels will cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all these from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. And they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord, and they're going to be bringing it to you. Yeah, we're a part of the family. You are literally been born into the family of God, just like Abraham, because of Abraham. I'll teach on this this week. You have been born again into the family of God. That's why I keep telling you, you got a DNA. You are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. Jesus is a joint heir of the line of Judah. He sits on David's throne. You and I are literally part of Judah. We are part of the tribe of praise. Get up and dance. Whoa, 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 whoa. I love it. But see, I'm not getting excited because I'm talking about the wealth coming to me. That fires me up. That's another time Dave could have heard through these walls filled with great insulation me yelling, because it's like, because God has already shown me what I'm supposed to do with it. Already got it laid out. I know. Got pictures. Why? Because I believe this word. And he said, well, are you going to go looking? I told you guys a while back, a year and a half ago, he said, woke up one morning, I'm in my time with God. He's like, how come you haven't looked at any islands? I'm like, islands? What does that mean? You want me to go to the islands? I never saw myself going to the islands, but hey, I don't care. I'm a servant. I'm a son going to go conquer the world for the Father. He goes, no, to buy one. I'm like, hallelujah, let's buy an island. There was 150 islands for sale around the world.
Perfect.
And it's perfect for a pastoral retreat where men and women that's out there making it happen. You can bring them there. They land, and you take care of them. You feed them lots of food. You get all the stress and pressure of the ministry off their shoulders, and you just bless them, bless them, bless them. You have all their favorite teachers' material there. They can just sit down and veg and just fill themselves with the word. I had to plan that fast.
Yeah.
I even know the names of the people that'll be the cooks. Yeah. Pastor, you really believe this, don't you? Well, why? When you see something in this word, how long is it going to take you to get it in you? As long as it takes you to sit down, write it on a piece of paper, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it, and then the word becomes flesh and dwells among you, and you've got something you never even knew was available in God. You're just one of them rich preachers wanting my money so you can get rich and I don't. Just go fly your stupid kite and burn that thing down, would you? Mm-hmm. Goodness sakes alive. God's blessing can't come on a man that does that. Think I'm going to offer my eternity in heaven up to go to hell on earth? Never. When God tells you to sow, it's so you can be blessed. You can be blessed.
Yes.
I mean, think about it, man. Got your own island? Mm-hmm. You know what that means? The next time you look at the calendar and it says 25 below for 7 days, off you go. And you land and you sit there on the island and you get yourself refreshed and you send lots of pictures of cool breezes back to the people, you know, up in the frozen tundra, and you're just like, glory be to God. I've been blessed by God. How many of these wicked, perverse men own an island, and God wants that island out of their hands into the hand of a ministry, or maybe just in your hands, that'll do something good with it?
Yeah. Amen.
I know I'm stretching some of you from out your socks, but them socks are dry and old and crusty. Get them off and get some new ones. Does anybody know what verse I'm on? Because I've lost my place. Huh? 7, that's a good one. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They'll ascend with acceptance on my altar. Now they're going to bring rams for the altar, for the sacrifice. Well, we don't sacrifice animals in our day. What are they going to bring you? They're going to bring you cash and stuff to lay on the altar of hundredfold return, blessing the kingdom, sponsoring preachers all over the world. Brother Tanvir and those men in Pakistan, you put $1 million in those men's hands, those men will transform Pakistan into one of the most godly nations there is.
Amen.
Just got to get the wealth of the sinner that belongs to you to be transferred into your hands, because God gave it to them to heap it up and bring and get born again and put it in our hands to go do the work. We've talked last night about Brother Jeff getting that $100,000 check because he sowed a seed, and the people wrote him a $100,000 check and gave it to him. And he's like, I don't even know what to do with it. He doesn't need anything. He held that money for a year, and God said, now take that $100,000 and pay that lady's house off. Right in church. And he did. Well, what happens to you when you sow a harvest that you sow the harvest that you sow the harvest that you sow the harvest? More blessing and more abundance.
The whole orchard.
You get the whole orchard. And what do you do with the orchard? Sit around, look like a fat cat? Uh-uh. You put the whole orchard. Well, this is the orchard. Let's open it up for everybody to come eat on it. And let's take this orchard and start spending our orchard around the world to preach more gospel. What does he preach to every day? The possibility of an audience of 2.5 billion people around the world is how many he's preaching to every day. Somebody's got to have the ability to start sitting and stacking it up and making a ministry and establishing things in God in order for it to happen. And that's what God is doing with you and me right here today. You're on the ground floor and you're going to watch it happen. Verse 8. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roost? It's going to come on airplanes. Coastlands shall wait for all the ships of Tarshish to bring your sons from afar, the silver, their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of the foreigners will build your walls. Their kings will minister to you. In my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually. They will not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in possession. Every nation, which kingdom which will not serve you, will perish. See, guys, when you realize this, all of a sudden, man, you start thinking, you start seeing, wait a minute, God wants to do a big thing, and it ain't there to make me a rich fat cat. So we can get the gospel preached around this world. These men of God have gone into African places. That one man, Sully, if you've never seen his story, go see it today. Sully, S-U-L-L-Y. Here he is. And he's in South Africa during apartheid, and these children without parents because of genocide. And they're eating on a garbage heap, and he sees them, and God says, what are you going to do to my children? Let them starve? Well, what am I going to do? He already had 6 kids. One day, he just went down, and a little girl was hiding in. She had no mama and no daddy, and he picked her up and took her home and became his kids. Just a couple years later, he had 1,000 kids in his life. 1,000 kids who were calling him dad. And he said, what am I going to do? And he had this big piece of arid land in the desert in Africa. And God said, build me a Canaan land. And God showed him how to drill a well in an exact spot. And he got water. And he took that water. And he made it grow in other places. And he planted a group of trees around this low spot. Those trees sucked water to the top and made a lake. That lake fed all these greenhouses. Today, the man is feeding millions of people with the food off his land that God gave him the idea to feed and take care of his kids. And God wants to do that all over the world, wherever there's poverty. He wants to strike poverty. It's the first thing Jesus was called to do. He preached the gospel to the poor. What is it? It's all right to be both broke, busted, and disgusted. Just know God loves you while you live in poverty, which he hates. That's vile. That's against our God. God don't want you rich and leave him. But you know what? You know the verse of scripture they take out of context and stay broke? Well, David said that I don't want to have nothing more than I'm supposed to have. And Jesus, don't give me too much now because I'll go astray. I just know I will. That's a verse in the Bible. Totally taken out of context. You just proved if money makes you go astray, you have a wicked heart. You have the DNA of God on the inside of you. You're supposed to create Eden everywhere you go. Is my hour of faith up yet?
Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter 28. Fourth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, chapter 28. It's back there just at the beginning. By Exodus and Leviticus. Then Deuteronomy. This is God's promise to his children. It's verses 1 through 13. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13. I'm going to tell you right now something, guys. When you go ahead and let God be as big in your life as he wants to be, your life will never be the same. Not another day. Ready? Verse 1. Shall come to pass that you diligently obey the Lord your God in all of his commandments which I command you. The Lord God will set you high above all the earth. That's a promise to his children, which is now you and me. Deuteronomy 28, 1. He's going to set you high above all the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 2. All these blessings will come upon you, overtake you, because you obey the voice of God. Number 3. Blessed will you be in the city. Blessed will you be in the field. Pretty much means you're going to be blessed everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Verse 4. Blessed will be the fruit of your body, produce of your ground, green increase of your herds. You're just blessed, blessed, blessed. Verse 5, blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Your food's going to be blessed. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out on that door. We sent them to every one of you. A little placard for your door. I'm blessed when I come in, and I'm blessed when I go out. Brother Dave, you can walk up and see it on our door every day of the week. We walk out this door, we close it, we lock it, and we say, thank you, Father, your blessing is on us as we go out. We strike up the door and put the key in and say, thank you, your blessing is on us as we come back in. Right out of the word of God. But if you don't ever get it out of that page and down in your heart, it cannot become life in your life. The word is the center of your faith. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They're going to come at you one way and flee seven. Did you hear that, liberals? Do you hear that, you wicked, perverse, secular humanists? You're coming at us, and you're fleeing seven ways, and you're destroyed. Your careers are destroyed. Leave that foul wickedness and come over here in the kingdom of God. We're not only crushing you in Canada, we're crushing you right here in the United States of America and around the world. 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you. In your storehouses, that would be a bank account. That would be your pantry and your cupboards. And all you set your hand to. He's going to bless you in the land where you're going. 9, he will establish you, his holy people, to himself. 10, all the people of the earth shall see you and declare, you are called by the name of the Lord of God, and they shall be afraid of you. 11, he's going to grant you plenty of goods. 12, the Lord will open his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend of many nations and not borrow. You're going to be the lender, not the borrower.
Hallelujah.
13. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You ever felt like you was the tail getting wagged?
Mm-hmm.
No. You're the head. You wag the tail. Above only and not beneath. I'm telling you. All you got to do, I like how Felicia said it. What did you say, Felicia? See it, write it, read it, speak it. Now, you might say, Pastor, I don't even know what verses to get. You ask me and I'll send them to you. And listen, if you ask me and I say, all right, I'll get them to you, and then you don't get them, send me another message and say, Pastor, you missed it. Or, Pastor, what about those verses? I'll get them to you. I got stacks of verses around me. Study that we've already done. Every one of these verse lists will lead you in that. And listen, some of you have such awesome respect for God's word that it's keeping you from being able to enjoy your life like you need to. You have to take this word and make it personal. If you leave it in the second person tense, it was written, it'd be like me speaking today. The Lord will bless you. There's a day comes when you got to say, well, I love you, Brother Dave, but this verse says, the Lord is blessing me, and put your name in it. I'm going to make you, Sam Cottle, the head and not the tail. I'm going to make you, Sam Cottle, above only and not beneath. Sam Cottle, you will lend to many nations, and Sam Cottle, you will not borrow. See, it's the only way you're going to get this word to become flesh and dwell among you, is that you get it down inside, and it becomes personal in your life. Well, I'm long past the hour of faith. But it's been a good hour.
It's been a good hour.
You can get the whole entirety of this message on YouTube. None of the talking at the beginning. We make our YouTube videos pretty much always just the message. So when you go there, you can start right at the beginning and then move right on through it. And I don't even have to edit that way. And all we got to do is throw in some timestamps so other people catch the verses and different things. And the next thing you know, this stuff is getting down inside of you. You might be like, Pastor, this is such a new doctrine. I don't even know what this is. I'm going to have to listen to this message 5 or 6 times. There it is. Click it. Listen again. Click it. Listen again. Click it. Listen again. If you got yourself a YouTube account and you use YouTube a lot, I recommend YouTube Red. Costs $12 a month. It removes all the ads, and it makes that history of the videos you watch. You'll be able to find your own history, and you'll be able to go back and say, there it is. Listen to it again. There it is. Listen to it again. There it is. Listen to it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I would not sin against you. You put the word in here in abundance, and sin just stops. Can I get a glory hallelujah from
anybody?
Amen,
amen.
Ready? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you for your word. I want to hear the band playing right now, Lord. I want to hear the band playing for our communion service. I speak it in faith, exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Bless every person that came here today. May this revelation grab them, grip them. May it just stay with them for the eternity, Jesus. Your blessing is on you. Thank you for the Missouri people that asked the question today. Really? You got to prove it to me. We love these Missourians, Lord. They always say, show me. We like it because we like to show them who you are and help them stand in you, our great God Almighty, in Jesus' mighty name. Bless every person, I pray, wherever they may be around the world. the glory and the honor and the praise of your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now let's receive our communion together. We do this every time. We welcome you, anybody that's listening on any of our platforms. If we're getting ready to break forth the bread of life. You might say, Pastor, I'm not a part of your church. Anybody who ever held communion from you, unless you were a church member, violated the word of God. That's against his law to do. Do not do that. If you're a part of the body of Christ and the body of Christ is being broken and shared, you have access to it. They may not let you because some of them are very wicked. But it's yours to receive. The only thing you have to do is be in God. If you've already been born again in your life, then you're totally capable of receiving his broken body and his blood shed with us right now today. Here we go. I'm going to read you the word. When we get done, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation in case somebody's here that's not born again. You got to be born again. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. You'll be born again and give you a little explanation. Then we'll receive the elements together. Now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26 is one of the coolest verses in the New Testament. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death, his redemptive work in your life till he comes. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, see if he's in God, and then let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love, God's love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. We just read it. We judge ourselves, we won't be judged. That's bold. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world right now today. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there's no fear in love, and there should be no fear in the communion service. If you sin this week, where what you need is communion, you don't need to run from it. You need to come to it and say, Jesus, I sin, and take his broken body and his blood. The church has said, if you sin, stay away from communion. That's a demonic doctrine. If you sin, run to the communion. It's your answer. Some of you are scratching your head saying, I never heard anybody say that. Because you haven't heard somebody that opened up the book and said, wait, what does this mean? I don't care about your doctrines. I got this because I listened to the Spirit of God say, that is wrong. What? I rebuke you, devil. Get out of my ears. That is wrong, son. Oh, Jesus, this is real. This is God talking to me. Read it again, and I read it again. Read it again, and I read it again. He said, where can you hold communion until church membership? It's not in the Bible, guys. That's a wicked doctrine. If your church teaches it, you might oughtn't get your pastor aside and say, Pastor, can you show me something? Where's the verse that says they don't get to have communion until they're a member? Do you know that Judas was at the table when he took communion with Jesus? It cursed him. It damned him. He was wrong. All you got to do is examine yourself. If you sin this week, inside your heart, just say, I need your blood and your broken body. You're not worthy. I'm laboring this point on purpose. Pray the prayer of salvation with me. This is you and I taking verse 28, examine yourself, and we're putting it right into practice in front of your eyes. And no matter how many times you prayed it, everybody pray it with me. Ready? Pray it with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
You raised from the dead.
You raised from the dead.
And you want to live in me.
And you want to live in me.
If you want to, put your hands out and just say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now, Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand your holy word.
Understand your holy
pray
word.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
It's done. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. Why? God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You went from fear to faith. Fear because you sinned. And now Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just came inside of you. And now faith is in you. You went from your sin, which you can't beat. None of us ever could. Until we accept Jesus' righteousness. And you're filled with it. Because you ask. You are now literally a child of God, because Jesus looked over at the Father and said, adopt that one into the family. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, and everything that heaven has that belongs to Jesus belongs to you and I. You are now part of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
In 60 seconds. You might say, Pastor, how in the world can that happen in 60 seconds? Because all you got to do is open the door a little bit. Jesus in with everything he's got. Jesus can't bring half of himself in. He has to bring it all. What's my responsibility, Pastor? From this day forward, walk with God. But I don't know how to be a Christian. Don't worry about it. Walk with God. He'll show you. Quit trying to be this weird Christianese person. Just stop it. And let God take you into the paths of righteousness, because he won't fail you. And you... your life will change just like that when you just say, wait, I'm just going to walk with God. You know what's wrong with trying to be a Christian? You don't know who has the book. You'll work, 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 and you'll get all this done, and they'll be like, you didn't do this. What? You walk with God, your Father, he lives in you every day. And when you wake up, you say, what are we doing today? Go to work. I'm supposed to enjoy the work of my labor. Get my wrenches. Get my house. Whatever it is you do. Type on my computer. Stop at noon. How are we doing? You having a good day? Yeah. Are we working hard? Yeah. Glory. Why? You're walking with God. Not something you do on Saturday, Sunday. Something you do 24-7, 365. You wake up in the middle of the night. Hey, what's happening, Father? And the room fills with his presence. You're like, whoa. And then he says, why don't you get up and talk to me? Yeah. And he manifests in the front room. And you're like, wow, Jesus, the glory of God's in this house. Called walking with God. I've gone to preaching. Got to get back to communion. Put my email address and website in there. So you got the ability to contact us, get in touch with us. I want you to send me an email and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer today for the first time. Maybe you're going to say, I'm coming back to him. I want to help you walk with God. I've got lots of material. It'll help you understand how to walk with God. And I will send you an email back. If you send me an email and you don't get a response from me right away, send it again. Make sure you got my address right so that I get it. I used to trust my email. It was always work, but it doesn't always work. So send it again, and that way we can be a blessing to you. Are you ready? Let's receive our own. We'll bless them first and then receive them. Now, wait. I'm going to speak a prayer over all of this, and all of it is the Word. It's the Word is the center of your faith. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Ready? Pray these prayers about the broken body. It's the Word. You were wounded.
You were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I'm healed.
And by your stripes I'm healed.
In my spirit, my soul, and my body.
In my spirit, my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
Right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community
of faith. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despising the shame for me. Glory to your name. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
Those of you that's on our Zoom with us, you're supposed to turn your mics on when we do communion. I forget. If you want to turn your mic on and say it with us, we'll be glad to hear you along with us. It makes it sound like church, which it is. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
I'm a brand new creation.
I am a brand new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my
testimony. I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Including COVID.
Including.
Has to pass over.
Has to pass over.
And can't be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or
my conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
You come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his bloodshed. I'll say it to you again.
Thank you, Lord.
My favorite communion cup. Though your sins are red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow when you put the blood of Jesus into the middle of it. And we just took their shot glass and said, thank you for putting a communion cup in every store around the world for me. So no matter where I go, if I break one, I can go find another one in a matter of a few minutes. Thank you. Who does this? Solo. Thank you, Solo. You really was working hard for the kingdom. I appreciate
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Well, let's sing a song about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, we're going live on Zoom with Driven by Eternity, the last four sessions. I need to get that inside of us. Got to get it in today because we got to start a new series. I got instruction from the Father to get moving. So, four classes. It'll probably be about 10 o'clock Eastern when we get finished. And it's the culmination of the judgment seat of Christ, our eternal home of heaven, and then you and I changing and rocking this world like we're supposed to be doing
Amen.
Every single day. Sure do love you guys.
Amen. Thank you all for being here.
Everybody welcome, Brother Dave.
Have a wonderful Sunday.
Brother Dave's going to come stand here. Peace, love, and brotherhood to Brother Dave. Brother Dave's Arkansan. How do you say that? Arkansan?
Arkansan.
Transplanted to North Dakota.
Yeah.
Got him a good job up here. And God's blessing him. And they've been good neighbors for a long time. You said Chad's been here 4 years?
Yeah,
we've been here 4 years. And been here 4 years. Good folk. What's interesting is you don't hear each other. They got this so well insulated, man. You both. Now, I'm sure he's heard me a few times, but I never heard them over there. Anyways, sure do love you guys.
Yeah, have a great day.
I'm not getting any comments anywhere, so I don't know if I'm in the lag somewhere. I never did see Brother Roger.
Roger hasn't. Oh, Francetta says, welcome, Brother Dave. God bless you.
Mary Walcott, welcome. Glad to have you with us today. Mary Pastorette, Sister
Rebecca.
So are
you feeling better today, Francetta? We declare you are. Our neighbor is having a party today. Oh, so it's going to be really noisy. Well, come on over here,
well,
Rebecca.
You know, Rebecca, get you some chips, make you some dips, and just go over there and sit down and say, I want to be a part of this party.
Yeah.
Take your Bible and just sit there and read right in the middle of the Super Bowl party, pray in tongues, cast out demons, heal the sick, and they'll be like, who invited this lady here? I don't know, but we can't get her to move. Say, well, we can hear you over there. I figured I might as well just enjoy the party. Can I have some of them wings, please?
Love and blessings and health and hope and peace and rest to you, Brother Dave. That's from Felicia.
Go Bengals. I thought Brother Casey would come on and talk to me about the Super Bowl just a little.
Casey is having them. Valentine's Day with his Valentine.
Well, that's wonderful. He's spending all that time with his mom. That's awesome. All right. Well, we got to run. 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central. Tonight's going to be a party. And, you know, I haven't watched the NFL football till they laid down and bowed down to the BLM flag. I don't care about them. May their stadiums rot, but there's a whole bunch of people.
And all of their footballs go flat.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people like it. Wait, listen, all due respect to the men of God that are actual born-again Christians doing the work in the NFL. I don't curse them, but there's a whole mess of them that should have stood up, and they were a bunch of little pansy. Woo! The biker was getting ready to come out of me. Bunch of pansy. Wait, pansy, wimp, chicken sissies.
Mary was Patrick's friend. Greatest lady loves horses.
Greatest lady loves horses, and we love Mary Walcott because we like horses too.
We do.
Matter of fact, Mary, all y'all come, we'll take you and show you the wild,
wild horses.
And just so everybody knows, I was within 40 feet of the big stallion, who is the brood stallion. Out here in our wild, just walked out there talking to him, and he came within 40 feet sniffing me, and I was holding real still saying, come on, dude, I want to pet you. Come on. My wife is taking pictures. Come on.
I always videotape you guys for you just in case Pastor gets stumped. I want to be wild animals.
Now,
video
just,
on
just for the record, I don't do that with buffalo. I ain't no way I'm coming in 40 feet of a buffalo. Unless I'm in my car with my foot on the accelerator and it in D for dig. Because buffaloes don't play, but he's a beautiful stallion. He's probably, what, 17 hands high? He's huge. He's beautiful. And he's got, I don't know, there's probably 15 mares and babies amongst them.
Yeah,
you know, just beautiful. You go clear back at the end of the park way back in there, and that's where they stay. And if you're driving down 94, going through North Dakota, when you pass Belfield exit, right? Where 85 and 94 meet. When you pass Belfield exit, M85, you're going west. About 5 miles, 6 miles, maybe nine. Start watching on the right hand side. Any of you truck drivers. And all of a sudden you'll see a fence and you'll see a big field of horses. And then if you look close, there'll be a buffalo in there. There might be some muleys, some antelopes. That's not somebody's pen. That's the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. And it does have a fence all the way around it. But it's, I forget how many acres. What did we figure out how many acres it was?
Oh, my goodness, I don't
even
remember.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 25 miles in circumference. And that's how, those are the wild horses. They don't feed them. They don't inoculate them. They don't trim their hooves. It's really beautiful. And if all y'all come now, you hear the train goes downtown, we'll pick you up. You can ride with us. You can rent a car, a bus, a motorhome. And we'll show you the stuff out here because it's a beautiful place in the mind and energy. Well?
You see Felicia talking to the NFL, said they misplaced their spines.
They misplaced their spines?
Yeah, go Rams. So the Rams must be one of the teams playing today. I'm so
you know,
far out of that loop that I didn't even know.
Really? Well, here's the cool thing about the Rams. Now, see, I'm missing my names because it's been too long. But the quarterbacks that took them to the Super Bowl has played in the NFL for the Detroit Lions for the last 10 years, Michael Stafford. And he's a good quarterback, and he's actually a good Christian. And he got traded from the Lions to the Rams. And his first year after the trade, he's got the Rams in the Super Bowl. Can't beat that. And last year, a young man from our hometown, Anthony Zettel, was in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he's from West Branch, Michigan. Young man, cool guy, defensive end, tackle man, big old monstrous dude. Mm-hmm. And he went to the Super Bowl. He didn't get the win. They didn't win. But after he went, he said to everybody, I wanted to get to the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to go live that life. I'm going to take care of my family.
Yeah. Well, and it was after that whole other thing happened too, wasn't it?
It's pretty cool. For one young man that made it, he's only like 26, made it to the Super Bowl. It's so cool because they traded him from the Lions. He went to the Browns, went to the Bengals, and the Bengals traded him to wherever, whoever was in there last year. They traded him, and he was like three games from the Super Bowl, and he got to play in the playoffs, and then he got to play in the Super Bowl. Made a big tackle in the Super Bowl. Good man. And he's a good man. Ready for this? This is the coolest part of it. My son-in-law, Andrew Kleinstein, was his high school, college, defensive end football coach and taught him what to do and went clear to the Super Bowl. How cool is that?
Awesome.
How cool is that?
Anthony.
I don't know why you're calling him an Ugga quarterback. I don't know what Ugga is. Kind of a word. Is that a mocking word, Felicia? Ugga. What's a Ugga? What's a UGA quarterback? I mean, I really know, but I don't want to have to admit it.
What is a UGA quarterback?
University of Georgia.
Oh, forgive me, Felicia, for not knowing that.
Layaway's doing flips on the couch behind her because I had to say University of Georgia, right? Sure do love you guys. We always have a good time talking about everything here, no matter what. Bad band fellas.
Hopefully see you back in a few hours. 4 hours, guys.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We took a long time. Yeah. Till we see you again, we call you blessed. May your afternoon be filled with God's blessing, his peace. As we always say here, remember this. And then the computer starts talking.
Yeah, she's going to get off.
Here we go. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
See you soon.
Oh, I didn't have time. I'm going to set aside the layout.